We will not have children's church this morning, but we have some activities for the children to do during this time when they have to sit so quietly. Children, we love you, and we are glad that you're here. And I have a story that I want you to hear this morning. Have you ever been sick? Raise your hand. Yeah. Anybody else in here ever been sick? Yeah. I wonder if you've ever felt like you were going to die. You ever been so sick you felt like you were going to die? Or at least you wish you had? And I know of people who have in their families, and I'm sure you do too, who have had children who have died. No matter what it is, it's very, very, very sad. And this morning we're going to talk about the story that Jesus lived, about this little girl who died and what he did for her and her family. This is our ninth story in the series of the stories of Jesus. Lately, our stories have been about how Jesus went from place to place teaching about the kingdom of God and then demonstrating his power and authority by healing people and casting out demons. Ooh. You know what? We talk about demons and that's really foreign to us. We don't think a lot about that, but that is something that is real. But I'll not go there today. Anyways, we've heard how Jesus has healed the leper, and he healed Peter's mother-in-law. We've talked about how he calmed the storm, and then he healed the paralytic, and he drove the demons out of the two men, and they ran into the 2,000 pigs that plummeted off the cliff. And when he forgave the paralytic, or he healed the paralytic, he forgave his sins. And all of these things that Jesus was doing drew a lot of attention. I mean, come on. If someone came to New Martinsville and showed up and started touching people and they were healed, if somebody went to the hospital and cleared it out with their healing touch, and the hospital did not have to be open, would that not be something amazing? Now today we have the television cameras that would be all over it, so you could enjoy it from the comfort of your living room, unless you needed to be healed. But what was happening is their TVs weren't tuned in. They didn't have them. They didn't have cell phones or even landlines or telegraph. And they had word of mouth. And although Jesus had said many times to the people he had healed, now don't tell anybody, he said this because he knew that if the word spread too quickly about what he was doing, there would be so many people there that he wouldn't be able to do exactly what he was wanting to do. Now he was God and he was going to do what he wanted to do anyways. But he had a plan of how to get it done. So people heard about Jesus by word of mouth. People heard what he was doing, about the healings. I would go to see Jesus heal somebody. But even more, I would go if I needed healing. This morning we had our altars full. People praying for healing. Because we believe in that. But how come we believe in it? Well, we believe it because we know the stories. Praise God, we have the Word of God that tells the stories. And we believe it because we have experienced it. Well, in our stories, many people came believing that Jesus could heal them. We also started to notice, though, that some of the religious leaders were beginning to resent Jesus and question how he was able to do this. And what were his motives, anyways? Although the Gospels are full of stories about Jesus healing people, although we have seen Jesus heal people, just like in that day, there are people today who do not believe in Jesus. And they don't believe in his healing power. They don't believe in his power to forgive sins. So I want to ask you today, I want to dig deep. We're here, we're experiencing it, but I want to dig deep. Do you really believe that Jesus has power over sickness and death, or do we just kind of go through the motions? Are we walking through the, you know what? It's going to differ for different people. There are those of us who believe because we have experienced it, and it helps our faith. Then there are those who have a little less faith, but you have that faith because you have seen it. And then there are those who have heard about it, and so they want to believe. And there are those who have heard about it, but their hearts are hardened, and they can't believe. So, if you're in one of those categories today, the story's for you. We know that many of the Jewish leaders did not follow Jesus, and these leaders were angry that Jesus was teaching things that were so different than the things they taught. But in today's story, we'll learn about one Jewish leader, his name was Jairus, who put his trust into Jesus. Jairus. Can you say Jairus? Kids, can you say Jairus? Jairus. Adults, can you say Jairus? Yeah, Jairus. J-A-I-R-U-S is the way it's spelled in the English version. So we'll pronounce it that way. Jairus went to find Jesus when he had a huge problem. He needed help, and he needed help fast. But Jesus wasn't to be found. He wasn't around. Jesus was across the lake, the Sea of Galilee, 7 or 8 miles away. He had been teaching someplace else. Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue, knew about Jesus, had seen Jesus, had witnessed what Jesus had done, but Jesus wasn't here. And he had a huge problem that only Jesus could solve. His little girl was sick, and she was deathly ill, and no one could do anything for her, and Jesus was Jairus' last hope. We're going to read in Mark chapter 5, starting with verse 21. This is in the New International Reader's Version that we have on the screen. If you want to follow along in your Bible or whatever, that would be great. Or just follow along on the screen. Jesus went across the Sea of Galilee in a boat, and it landed at the other side, and there a large crowd gathered around him. Now see, this is, he was across the sea, and as far as Jairus is concerned, he had come back. Then a man named Jairus came. He was a synagogue ruler, and seeing Jesus, he fell at his feet, and he begged Jesus, "Please come. My little daughter is dying. Place your hands on her to heal her. Then she will live." So Jesus went with him. Now, Jairus, as the leader of the synagogue, was one of those Jewish leaders, one of the religious leaders. And his job was to keep the synagogue going. And the synagogue was a church, basically, much like this. And Jairus was probably something in the nature of a pastor. He kept things in order. He kept things up. He made the schedules of the music schedule and the usher schedule and all that stuff. He was in charge of things. As a ruler, Jairus would take care of all of the little details. And he would have been very well known and respected. He was important. But now he was helpless because 12-year-old daughter. And we have any 12-year-olds? 12-year-olds? 13-year-olds? 11-year-olds? Right in that area? 10-year-olds? Hey, I don't care what age your child is. If they're dying, it's an emergency, right? Parents, how many times have you been to the emergency room with your children? Jairus did not have an emergency room. Jesus was much better than that, though, wasn't he? This was not a small act for Jairus, for he to come to Jesus and fall on his knees. Can you imagine that? A grown man, respected man, a man who everybody looked up to, came to Jesus and fell on his knees before him and begged him, "Lord, please come. Come quickly. My daughter is very sick. I'm afraid she's going to die. Would you please come?" What was he doing? He was showing fantastic faith in Jesus. Jesus doesn't always choose to heal people when we want them to be healed, though. Sometimes he has a different plan, a better plan. And as we'll see in a few minutes, but Jairus had faith that Jesus was able to heal his daughter. So Jairus went to Jesus because he knew that Jesus had power over sickness. He didn't worry about what people were thinking about him. And he didn't care if people were staring at him. And what's more, Jesus loved Jairus, and he didn't hesitate to go with him. That's because Jesus is full of compassion. That means he feels the pain that his people feel. What do you think that Jesus was thinking when he heard about this little girl that was near death? He felt compassion. "Yes, yes, I'll come to your home. I will go with you." We have something to learn from that. Jesus feels every bit of our pain. When you feel pain, Jesus feels that pain. When you feel miserable, when you're upset, Jesus knows about that. He feels that for you. He has the power to help you when no one else can. He has the perfect wisdom to always do exactly what is best for you. So Mark chapter 5, starting in verse 24, we'll read, continue the story. A large group of people followed. Jesus went with them, and a large group of people followed. They crowded around him. A woman was there who had a sickness that made her bleed. Now, on the way, a woman had the sickness. Now, this sickness lasted for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal, even though she had gone to many doctors. She had spent all the money she had, but she was getting worse, not better. Then she heard about Jesus. She came up behind him in the crowd and touched his clothes. And she thought, "I just need to touch his clothes. Then I will be healed." And right away, her bleeding stopped. And she felt in her body that her suffering was over. Is that amazing? She felt all she needed to do was touch his garment. Huh. Poor woman. Can you imagine having suffering this way 12 years? I do not need to elaborate on what her sickness was, but I will tell you that the type of problem she had would cause some of these symptoms: a really fast heartbeat, low blood pressure, low body temperature. All of these things make a person feel terrible. Plus, because she was had this bleeding issue, she was considered ceremonially unclean. Can you say that? Ceremonially? Ritually unclean. She wasn't allowed to go to the temple until this was healed. Now, the temple was many miles away, so they had the synagogue. So, even being able to go around people, she was not allowed to be with other people. She wasn't allowed to touch anybody else because she was considered unclean. And if she touched anybody else, they would become unclean also. And so I'm sure that for 12 years she became a loner. If she had been married, she probably had been divorced because she couldn't bear children. But she couldn't get married if she hadn't been because of this problem. She was an outcast. 12 years. She had gone to several doctors and spent all of her money trying to be healed. And no one could heal her. In fact, they probably made her worse. They didn't have the same kind of doctors that we have today. we all have experienced the doctor who couldn't help us anyways, right? But Jesus was here. She was part of that crowd. And even though she was unclean, she said, I've had it. I can't do this any longer. I don't care if I'm not supposed to get into the crowd. All I know is if I could just touch the hem of Jesus' garment, I will be healed. How did she know that? Because she had seen. She had heard. She had faith that God had given her. And so she pressed in toward him. Right away, her bleeding stopped and she felt her body, in her body, that her suffering was over. I'm going to ask you to do something. Children, are you ready for this? Adults, you can do this if you'd like to. Put your hands together like this. I'd like you to squeeze your hands together as hard as you can, starting right now. Don't let go until I say. She was certain that Jesus could heal her. She knew that he was so powerful that if she could just touch the hem of his clothes, she would be healed. And so she reached up. Are you squeezing hard? Really hard? She reached up and she touched his garment and she felt it let go. You feel the release of the pressure in your hands? You see the difference? Your hands feel the relief. She felt this all over her body. Can you believe it? Just by touching the hem of his garment, she was healed for the first time in 12 years. Can you imagine the joy that she felt? Scripture. All at once, Jesus knew that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and he asked, "Who touched my clothes?" You see the people, his disciple answered. "Lord, you do see the people. They're all around you. What do you mean, who touched your clothes? They're crowding against you, and you still ask, who touched me?" But Jesus kept looking around. He wanted to see who had touched him. And then the woman came, and she fell at his feet. And she knew what had happened to her. And she was shaking with fear. But she told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Dear woman, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. You are free from your suffering." Is that not amazing? Praise God. We have to understand, though, that the original language, "go in peace," and what Jesus originally said is, not only are you healed from your sickness, but you are healed from your sin. This woman had faith in Jesus. What happens when we place our faith in Jesus? We're saved. He forgives us of our sins. For just a moment here, when Jesus said, "Who touched me?" she thought, "Oh no. Oh no." And that relief that she had found by touching him and the healing that she had found all of a sudden turned into some fear. And Jesus looked around and she finally said, "Lord, it was me, and this is why. I've been suffering all of this time." And Jesus said, "I give you my peace. You're free from your suffering. You have had great faith, and you're to be commended for that." Wow. Can you feel the relief that she might have felt? I'm sure. Not only the relief from 12 years of suffering, but of understanding that she was a child of God. Now Jesus was on his way to Jairus' house. Let's not forget that he was on the way to heal this daughter who was going to die. I can imagine that Jairus, who was worried sick about his dying daughter, may have thought that this woman's interruption was a bad thing. Can you imagine? He's in a hurry. Jesus, don't stop for anybody else. Come on, Jesus, this way, come on. But Jesus didn't see it that way. The sick woman didn't catch Jesus by surprise. Jesus is able to work all things together for the good of those who love him, right? Jesus allowed this interruption so that Jairus and the others would learn more about him. Jesus would receive more glory and their faith would grow stronger. Jesus will never think of your need as an eruption in his day. Okay? You need to know that. No matter what it is, sometimes people say, well, I would pray more, but I don't, God's pretty busy. I don't want to interrupt him. Come on. God is God. He can hear every one of us at the same time and does and knows our thoughts. And it's not an interruption for him. Jesus will be very pleased if we place our trust in him that way. Every time you bring your needs to Jesus, you're showing that you have faith in him and that you trust that he has the power and the compassion to give to you. Mark 5:35. While Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the house of Jairus. Now, he was the synagogue ruler. And they said, "Your daughter is dead." They said, "Why bother the teacher anymore?" But Jesus didn't listen to them. He told Jairus, the synagogue ruler, "Don't be afraid. Just believe." Now Jesus had been delayed on his way to Jairus' house. And can you imagine what Jairus was feeling at this time? Don't bother Jesus anymore. I'm sorry, it's too late. And Jairus had to now make an important decision. Was he going to listen to his servants? "Your daughter's died. She's gone. It's too late. I'm sorry." Or was he going to listen to Jesus? "It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay." Let's read some more scripture. I don't think it's necessary for me to read to you all my notes. I think you're getting the picture. Jesus let only Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, follow him. And they came to the home of the synagogue ruler. And there Jesus saw a lot of confusion. People were crying and sobbing loudly, and he went inside. And then he said to them, "Why all this confusion and sobbing? The child's not dead, she's only sleeping." And here's the crowd's response. They laughed at him. They laughed at him. So not everybody was believing in Jesus. Not everybody. So he made them all go outside. And he took only the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him. And he went in where Jesus was. And he took her by the hand. Then he said to her, "Talitha koum." This means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." And the girl was 12 years old. Right away, she stood up and walked around. And they were totally amazed at this. And Jesus gave strict orders not to let anyone know what had happened. And he told them to give her something to eat. The people that were crying about the little girl's death, Jesus told them they didn't need to cry. And they laughed at him. But they don't understand God's ways. They don't understand God's ways. God's ways are so much higher than the ways of people that they simply just didn't understand what Jesus was saying. These people did not have the faith in Jesus. They were not invited to enter the home and witness the miracle because they didn't have the faith in Jesus. Have you ever noticed that? The people who witness the miracles are the people who have the faith. But if you don't have faith, you're not going to see it. That's why I asked, do you have the faith? It only took a few words for Jesus to raise the girl, and this shouldn't surprise us too much because it was God's spoken word that created the world and all the life that was in it. And of course, the girl's mother and father and Peter and James and John were completely amazed. This was the first time that Jesus raised someone from the dead. They each knew that Jesus had power over sickness, and the disciples knew that Jesus had power over nature and over evil spirits. But now, this handful of people knew that Jesus had power over death. I wonder if Jairus and his wife realized that they had the Son of God in their home. What an amazing thing. How blessed they were. Not only was their daughter well, but they had also come face to face with Jesus, the long-awaited Messiah. Today we've seen two beautiful examples of faith. When the sick woman and Jairus were helpless and hopeless, Jesus was the answer. The woman came to Jesus, and Jesus brought healing and peace. Healing and salvation. That's what she received from him. Jairus put his trust in Jesus, and Jesus brought life where there was once death. In the kingdom of God, suffering ends, hearts are mended, and new life takes place of death. Let me say that again. In the kingdom of God, suffering ends. Amen. Hearts are mended. And new life takes the place of death. So I'll ask you again. Do you have faith as these two did? Do you trust that Jesus' way is always the right way? When you're faced with a very difficult problem, will you bring it to Jesus? And will you walk with Jesus wherever He asks you to go? From the youngest to the oldest here, that's a challenging question. Will you go where He asks you to go? Do you trust that God's timing is perfect? Sometimes He allows delays so that you can learn more about Him, just as He allowed the little girl to die so that He could raise her from the dead. That way, He receives more glory and your faith will grow stronger when we wait on Him, when we don't try to force things. This morning, if you don't have that kind of faith, you need to just simply ask God for a strong faith. Faith is a free gift from your loving Heavenly Father, and He will gladly give you the gift of faith. But our faith is also strengthened and built. Faith is like a muscle. You can have a muscle, but it might be a little one. Sometimes you have to work it out a little bit. You have to strengthen it. And we do that by reading the Word of God, by praying, by believing, by exercising that faith. Amen. Jesus has the power over sickness and over death. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? Well, we've seen the Lord heal people from sickness. And we've heard stories about how people have died and come back to life. Let's believe it with all of our hearts. Worship team, come on up. You know, as I preach through this series, I look for the points that the Lord has in these stories. And I can only believe that He needs us to hear them again and again. I've been preaching, we've been talking about people being healed several weeks now. That's what the stories are about. there is much healing that needs to be done still. Let's trust in the Lord.